This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Biden's request. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Friday, December 4th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President-elect Joe Biden says on his first day in office, he'll ask all Americans to wear a mask for 100 days.
Amid a spike in coronavirus infections, California has new restrictions ready for when hospital ICU beds fall to 15% of capacity.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill continue negotiating the more contentious parts of a proposed $908 billion coronavirus relief package.
And the mounting tensions inside the Biden transition team as political operatives angle for key positions.
Some of this has to do with a big challenge that Joe Biden is going to face once he takes office next month, and that is that he is a centrist who campaigned on, you know, bringing a lot of different factions together.
Courtney Subramanian at USA Today on jockeying for jobs in the Biden administration. Another day, another coronavirus record. The U.S. set a single-day record for COVID deaths yesterday with 2,858. Meanwhile, with hospitalizations rising, California has announced a new round of restrictions that'll go into place when available ICU bed space falls to 15% of capacity in a given region. Southern California is on track for this week. The San Francisco Bay Area could follow in a week or so. Governor Gavin Newsom.
If we don't act now, our hospital system will be overwhelmed. If we don't act now, we'll continue to see a death rate climb, more lives lost.
The restrictions would require Californians to remain at home except for things like getting groceries, going to the doctor, dog walks, and individual outdoor exercise. Also of note, drug company Moderna says participants in a trial of its candidate vaccine appeared to be protected from the virus for at least 3 months, the first indication of how long a COVID-19 vaccine might last. President-elect Joe Biden told CNN that one of his first acts as president will be to ask all Americans to wear a mask for 100 days to help slow the spread of the deadly coronavirus.
It is important that we, in fact, the president and the vice president, we set the pattern by wearing masks.
That's a shift from President Trump, who offered skepticism about mask wearing. Also, Mr. Biden said he's asked Dr. Anthony Fauci to continue being a lead voice during the pandemic.
I ask him to stay on in the exact same role he's had for the past several presidents, and I ask him to be a chief medical advisor for me as well, and be part of the COVID team.
President Trump sidelined Dr. Fauci, you'll recall, at points during the year after his warnings about the importance of wearing masks and social distancing. In related news, former Presidents Obama, Bush, and Clinton have said they're willing to take a coronavirus vaccine to prove that the treatment is safe and effective. Mr. Biden says he'll join them. Members of Congress are negotiating the two most contentious components of a new coronavirus aid package that could be signed into law by the end of the year. Momentum continues to grow for a $908 billion compromise proposal designed to help struggling families and businesses. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer.
Of course, we and others will offer improvements, but the need to act is urgent, and we believe that with good faith negotiations, we could very well come to an agreement.
Earlier this week, a bipartisan group from the House and Senate reached broad consensus around a new aid package that included funding for state and local governments and legal protections for businesses and other entities operating during the pandemic. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
If the president came out for it, you'd have a large number of Republicans and Democrats vote for it.
Lawmakers yesterday haggled over details regarding unemployment insurance, small business, and vaccine distribution, among other measures. Dell Technologies just announced their Cyber Monday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBCyberMonday.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
As President-elect Joe Biden assembles his team, tensions are simmering below the surface of his tightly scripted introduction events as factions jockey for jobs and outside figures grow increasingly vocal in questioning some of the early choices for top positions. Courtney Subramanian, White House correspondent at USA Today, says though the conflicts don't break neatly along ideological lines, they underscore a broader challenge. Courtney, what are you hearing?
I mean, I think this happens with any administration, right? You have a party returning to power that's been out of power for 4 years, and a lot of folks who want jobs. So, you know, some of those tensions are normal, but I think, you know, some of this has to do with a big challenge that Joe Biden is going to face once he takes office next month. And that is that he is a centrist who campaigned on, you know, bringing a lot of different factions together, you know, under a big tent Democratic Party. And he needs to bridge the divide between, you know, veteran operatives who he, of course, is going to bring on in this moment, and as well as members of the progressive wing of the party and younger generation of aides who, you know, got their start under Obama or through other primary candidates that challenged him.
Mm. All right,
for the nomination.
So what are sources saying here? What are you hearing on this front in terms of tension?
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different anxieties, I'll say. You know, you have folks who worked on the Biden campaign from the beginning, and there's some tension with people who came on later who, you know, maybe weren't believers from the beginning. And so there's some resentment there. I talked to a lot of folks who worked in the Obama administration, and they did acknowledge that there's some tension between, you know, aides who have been close to Biden and some of the Obama aides. You know, people who worked for Biden didn't feel maybe that, you know, as vice president, he wasn't necessarily treated properly. And then, you know, you also have folks who are really concerned about Joe Biden fulfilling his promise to make his cabinet look more like America. You know, there's this diversity piece that keeps coming up. You know, he has already appointed a lot of diverse folks. Alejandro Mayorkas, who he chose to lead the Department of Homeland Security, would be the first Latino to do so. Linda Thomas-Greenfield, who is Black, he nominated to serve as the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. So, you know, there's a lot of folks who have come in and have really fit this theme. But I spoke to the NAACP, and, you know, they said that they hadn't met with the president-elect yet about his cabinet picks. They expect that to be rectified. I was told yesterday that that is being rectified. So they just have a lot of people they need to consult and a lot of people to please.
Mm. We're speaking with Courtney Subramanian, White House correspondent at USA Today. She's written a piece about the tension with the Biden transition team and with regards to positions in the administration. You wrote, too, about kind of like a nasty exchange or a comment on Twitter involving, was it a press secretary for Senator Bernie Sanders about Neera Tanden, the White House nominee for budget director?
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy around Neera Tanden. She serves, has been nominated to lead the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and she ran into some trouble because she has, she has a trail of tweets about that are a bit nasty about some Republican senators. So she's ruffled a lot of feathers in the GOP, and there's concern that she might not be confirmed. Joe Biden sort of laughed it off. He said that, you know, if we're looking at tweets, that would disqualify half the, or I think he said majority of the GOP. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. There's some folks who say, who've told us that, you know, she's sort of the sacrificial lamb that throwing up to the confirmation gods as a sacrificial lamb. And then they would nominate someone else to OMB. But it'll be interesting to see how her confirmation hearing plays out.
Thanks, Courtney. Courtney Subramanian, White House correspondent at USA Today. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
States are drafting plans for who will go to the front of the line when the first doses of COVID-19 vaccine become available later this month. As U.S. deaths from the outbreak eclipse 3,100 in a single day, obliterating the record set last spring. States face a Friday deadline to submit requests for doses of the Pfizer vaccine and specify where they should be shipped. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine.
We lose people every single day. Each of these lives matter. Whether it's your friend or my friend or who it is, each life matters a lot.
Number two.
President-elect Joe Biden has asked Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, to serve as his chief medical advisor. Biden told CNN he asked Fauci to serve in the position in addition to staying on in his longtime role as the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
Number three.
Optimism about delivering long-sought COVID-19 relief is building on Capitol Hill after additional rank-and-file lawmakers voiced support for a bipartisan middle-of-the-road plan taking shape in the Senate. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina says he's now on board.
There's a deal to be had. The president wants a deal, so I'm fairly encouraged.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, frequent rivals but proven dealmakers, spoke by phone yesterday to try to get a deal done. Firefighters are battling a wildfire on Hillside southeast of Los Angeles after it broke out at a wooded canyon, apparently triggered by a faulty domestic generator. Orange County Fire Authority Chief Brian Fennessy.
Throughout the night, we continued to add resources, including additional firefighters, additional bulldozers, additional hand crews, and night flying helicopters.
The fire has forced the evacuation of some 25,000 people. Several firefighters have been hospitalized with injuries. In the most seismic shift by a Hollywood studio yet, Warner Brothers Pictures has announced that all of its 2021 film slate, including a new Matrix movie, Godzilla vs. Kong and In the Heights, will stream on HBO Max at the same time the films play in theaters. After disappointing domestic ticket sales for Tenet and with many theaters still closed, the AT&T-owned Warner Brothers will turn to a hybrid distribution model next year.
Wow. That is seismic. Thank you, Jen. No matter what your business does, there's no question that if you didn't have a digital presence before, you better have one now. But if the things you need to do it, graphic design, copywriting, web programming, film editing, and more, aren't what your business does, that's a problem. But there is a solution, and it's the online marketplace, Fiverr. Fiverr's global network of on-demand freelance talent is ready to help. Whether you're launching your first business, your current business is pivoting, or you're in need of extra support, or you're trying to digitally optimize your business, you can find it instantly with Fiverr. Customize your search by service, deadline, price, and more. And the pricing at Fiverr is project-based, not hourly. So there's no negotiating, no guesswork, and there's 24/7 customer service. Check out Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order by using my code Gordon. Find all the digital services you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com and the code Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Tech devices and video games have been edging out toys for decades, but the pandemic this year threatened to buck that trend. For example, there was the puzzle and board game frenzy of the spring. But as the holidays approach, requests for screens and software have reached a new level. A survey finds devices and video games make up 8 of the top 10 desired items this year, compared with 5 just 3 years ago. More from Wall Street Journal columnist Julie Jargon. Julie, what's trending?
Kids are definitely tired of looking at screens for school, but when it comes to video games and other activities that they really enjoy,
screens still seem to be winning out.
All right, so what are they asking for?
So they're asking for phones, they're asking for video game systems and video games themselves. Some kids are asking for virtual currency so that they can buy digital goods within video games. They still want Legos, they still want dolls, but bikes and books have fallen off the wish list this year.
Is there a certain age you find, Julie, that kids sort of flip a switch, for lack of a better term, and decide it's electronics time for me? I'm 8 or 7, whatever it is.
Yeah, it seems to be getting younger and younger. The NPD group said that the majority of toy sales are purchased for kids between the ages of, you know, infant and 8. So it seems like 8 is kind of, you know, that turning point. But I've been talking to parents of kids much, much younger who, even as young as 3, who want tablets. Their older siblings using tablets or their parents, and that the lure of the screen is strong even in very young children. So that's something that I think has come as a surprise to some parents who thought maybe they had a few more years before they had to deal with the whole tech battle. 6-year-olds who only want tech gadgets instead of toys anymore. And so that's throwing some parents for a bit of a loop.
Yet Legos remain strong no matter what, it seems.
Legos are still strong. I think there's a unique allure to building things, taking them apart. So those still remain on the list.
We're speaking with Julie Jargon. She writes the family and tech column for the Wall Street Journal. This piece is called Tech Beats Toys for Holidays Despite COVID Screen Fatigue. Explain the point you made, too, about how there's a disconnect between what parents want to buy for their children and what children actually want.
Yes, exactly. I think parents have just become very fatigued with all of the time their kids are spending on screens and are trying to do anything they can to get them to do something more physical in the real world. And so, you know, at the start of the pandemic, there was a surge in sales of puzzles and board games. Of course, that wasn't all for children. A lot of that was for adults to occupy themselves. But then there was also a spike in Barbie sales. And so a lot of parents, you know, have been buying toys for their children to give them something to do during all of this downtime. But the kids seem to find their way back to the screens.
Nice, Julie. Julie Jargon, Wall Street Journal columnist. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You can spend a lot of time on social media, right? So addictive and time-consuming. But don't you wish you were actually learning something? That's how I felt until I found Blinkist, the app for your phone, tablet, or browser that condenses the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books down to 15 minutes. I like Blinkist because I can listen to condensed books that look intriguing while commuting or running errands, like Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Blinkist is thought-provoking and time-saving all in one. Podcast, too. Join 15 million others broadening their knowledge with Blinkist. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/morning.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us and welcome into Friday, December 4. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President-elect Biden will propose we wear masks for 100 days once he's sworn in. California has new coronavirus restrictions ready to be put in place if hospitals get overwhelmed. The House today is expected to vote on a marijuana legalization bill. Video presented by Trump campaign attorneys alleges election workers in Georgia counted ballots without monitors present. And a happy ending for a Texas restaurant server who got stiffed with a fraudulent $2,000 tip. That story in about 20 minutes. We get the November jobs report from the Labor Department this morning. A preview from Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, what are we seeing?
Well, we're still seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. Unfortunately, Gordon, we're still in that tunnel. And that light is the availability of safe and effective vaccines. Depending on how quickly those can be deployed, that's really going to tell the story on how we get out of this economic downturn that was caused by the pandemic. But in the near term, we're just trying to get our arms around where the job market stood in the month of November. And for the forthcoming report that we get from the Labor Department, the expectation is that, frankly, we make very little progress on the job market. A reminder that this data is captured around the second week of the previous month, so we're thinking about November 12th. It feels like a lot's happened since then. But the expectation is that the unemployment rate could, and I really almost want to capitalize those letters, right, could move lower to 6.8%. And the expectation is that we will recover jobs, but the lowest level really for the last 6 months or so. And that number would be about 500,000 jobs, which under normal circumstances would be fantastic. But as of October, we still had 11 million people listed as out of work. And so if we only reduce that by 500,000, that means that we still have a long way to go.
All right. And I think as you pointed out, the worst of the downturn, the economic downturn, is over. But so also might be the best of the recovery.
I think that's right. And that's where we look ahead to that light, because I think we could have a very strong year in 2021 if everything lines up just right. But that's not without having caused a lot of damage. And some people are going to be digging out of this hole for quite some time to come. But we measure the economy broadly as well as try to understand how these things affect individuals and regions and localities. And so we know that perhaps in a matter of days, there will be people in nursing homes and healthcare workers, those really on the front lines of this pandemic, getting the vaccines at the very earliest stages of that. And then we think about essentially the rest of the society. And that will present the opportunity to resume the things that many of us have been cut off from, attending live sports or music, other kinds of cultural events, not feeling as if we're taking our lives into our own hands when we go shopping.
We're speaking with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. We're talking about the November jobs report, doing a little preview. Also, one of the things you and I have not been able to discuss lately is some perceived optimism with regards to coronavirus stimulus from Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, we've been talking about this for 250 days now since the earlier legislation was passed. And 250 days ago, there was more of a spirit of bipartisanship where the fate of the nation was really in the hands of elected officials to do something. And they did something, I think, that was quite remarkable in the sense of passing the CARES Act and earlier rounds of legislation. And, you know, it was quite also remarkable that essentially going into the general election, Mitch McConnell said in his speaking from his position of Senate leadership, was that the first order of business after the election was over would be to pass or at least to take up another round of legislation. Unfortunately, we've gone through the expiration of some of the earliest expirations of programs that occurred at the end of July. And we're really facing some, steep cliffs, the edges right in front of us here in the month of December, with more than 10 million people facing the prospect of a loss of unemployment benefits. I do think that it appears as every hour goes by that there are more optimistic comments being uttered by those in positions of power, but it, like so many things, I'm not going to bet on that until we actually have passage of the legislation.
Nice, Mark. Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. It is 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Is your inbox dominated by Cyber Monday deals? Mine is, but as far as men's essentials, the only deal you need to pay attention to? Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is offering 20% off your first order. Plus, if you spend $75 or more, you get a free silver mask. Whatever men's basics you're looking for, Mack Weldon has you covered with unmatched fit and comfort. For me, with the weather getting colder, I love their hoodies. Plus, their custom fabric polos are unbelievably soft. And the socks make me feel like I'm wearing a new pair of shoes. And their free Weldon Blue loyalty program keeps your savings going, like free shipping for life at level one. And once you reach level 2 by spending $200, you get 20% off every order for the next year. Don't miss out. Score big this Cyber Monday and get 20% off your first order at macweldon.com/Gordon and enter the promo code Gordon. Plus, if you spend $75 or more, you'll get a free silver mask. That's macweldon.com/Gordon, promo code Gordon, for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics.
Thanks for being with us. You know, there was an accusation on Twitter yesterday, Mike, that we did not do Friday Eve.
We did. I could have swore we did a Friday Eve. There was a Friday Eve in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I kind of have a knee-jerk reaction whenever that happens.
You
expect
spasm. It.
Yes,
as much as you dislike it, you expect that phrase to come from my mouth.
At this point. I mean, we're going on, what, a decade of Friday Eves, at least, at this point?
So as part of a makeup, let me introduce this as welcome into Saturday Eve.
Ugh,
that will accommodate, perhaps, accusations that we did not cover Friday Eve yesterday.
To me, that just makes it sound like the weekend's like half over.
It's
already
a little much. I'm not on board with it.
As much as I hate Friday Eve, I think I hate Saturday Eve even
okay.
more.
That's understandable.
Friday,
it's understandable.
Good enough in and of itself. Right. Doesn't need anything else.
It's time now for the mic drop. Here's this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, this is what it's come to if you want to play football in 2020. If you want to make sure you have at least one COVID-free quarterback on Sunday, you better keep one in isolation. That's what the Denver Broncos are resorting to after all three of their quarterbacks were ruled out for their last game at the last minute over possible exposure to COVID-19. That led to a practice squad wide receiver named Kendall Hinton being pressed into service as a starting NFL quarterback, and it went about as you would have expected. To make sure that doesn't happen again, Broncos third string QB Blake Bortles has been named the team's designated survivor, distancing himself from the rest of the quarterbacks this week in order to avoid a repeat of last week's disaster. However, USA Today says the team is stopping short of locking Bortles in a bunker like the government does for the real designated survivor during the State of the Union speeches.
Mm.
So he won't be in a bunker necessarily, but he will be away from everyone else. And if all else fails, Blake Bortles will be your quarterback, and he might be, I know, slightly better than Kendall Hinton was this past week.
Right. Oh, poor Kendall Hinton.
That
was a game in our pick'em pool, in which I had taken the Broncos and the points initially.
Right.
And then I saw that they had zero quarterbacks. Yes. And in fact, the guy they were pulling off the practice squad was actually a wide receiver.
Right.
And I thought, they're not even going to score a point. I can't possibly take the Broncos. I think, was it the Saints? I think they played the Saints last
week. Yeah, I think our website almost crashed from all the people jumping on to change their picks away from the Broncos at the last minute.
Poor Broncos. Anyway, where is Blake Bortles? That's the internet question right now.
Where is he hiding? Where's he been all season? Because we hadn't even heard of Blake Bortles playing at all this year, and now he's getting more attention than he has all the rest of the year.
And good luck against the Chiefs.
Yes. And if nothing else, we've learned a lot about ourselves this year, and apparently we're a little boring, at least when it comes to our ice cream flavors. Throughout the pandemic, Americans have turned repeatedly toward comfort food, and according to Häagen-Dazs, nothing is more comforting than a giant scoop of vanilla ice cream. In their yearly flavor report, the brand said that when we were stress eating ice cream this year, vanilla was our flavor of choice, with coffee and strawberry rounding out the top three. And like everything else, we want our ice cream delivered, with searches for ice cream delivery up over 200% this year.
Really?
Yes.
Ice cream delivery.
That seems a little strange to me.
Yeah.
I mean, gallons of ice cream, sure, but is someone going to show up at my door with like an ice cream cone with, sprinkles on it? That seems a little
right,
odd.
Right.
Yeah, or sundae even. Yeah.
I'm disappointed, by the way, with the vanilla selection. That being the number one requested flavor? I mean, where's the creativity? We did so many kind of unique things and took on projects and were creative during the pandemic, and we went for vanilla ice cream?
Yeah, I mean, I like vanilla as a good base for all of my toppings. See, that's why I like it. You know, I can put my sprinkles and my chocolate syrup or my strawberry sauce if that's the mood I'm in. So it's a good base for all those things. So if you like a lot of toppings, vanilla is a good choice,
right.
I think.
I rarely have vanilla by itself. If that's all that's available in the house, I'll add peanut butter, a couple of spoonfuls of peanut butter or Nutella to it.
You got to add something to it. Yeah.
Other than that, it's salted caramel all day for me. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
This year, Michigan businesses have had to adapt, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation was right there alongside them, helping to connect businesses to new resources, meet new partners, and access the additional capital they needed right from the start. If your business needs support to reach its new potential, the MEDC is available to help in any way we can. Contact us today for customized business assistance at michiganbusiness.org/partnership.
Dell Technologies just announced their Cyber Monday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SBCyberMonday. Thanks for being with us. Here's a silver lining to the coronavirus. A new study finds that vaping among teens and young adults has decreased dramatically during the COVID-19 pandemic, with two-thirds of e-cigarette users reporting that they've either cut back or quit. About 32% of e-cigarette users said they quit this year, and another 35% reported cutting back. The findings were published yesterday in the medical journal JAMA Network Online. Results found that concerns about lung health were a major factor for the teens and young adults in making their decision. Research has shown that smokers have a higher risk of severe COVID-19 infection. Vapers' worries may also have been enhanced by the 2019 nationwide outbreak of EVALI, which involved thousands of lung injuries related to e-cigarette use. Oh, one other finding, by the way. Kids in lockdown were not strongly motivated to quit by fears of their parents finding out about their vaping. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Hospitals slammed with COVID-19 patients are trying to lure nurses and doctors out of retirement, recruiting students and new graduates who have yet to earn their licenses, and offering eye-popping salaries in a desperate bid to ease staffing shortages. With the virus surging from coast to coast, the number of patients in the hospital with the virus has more than doubled over the past month to a record high of nearly 100,000.
Number two.
President-elect Joe Biden told CNN he's carved out a role for Anthony Fauci in his administration.
I asked him to stay on in the exact same role he's had for the past several presidents, and I asked him to be a chief medical advisor for me as well, and be part of the COVID team.
Fauci has been the top official dealing with the pandemic, but President Trump sidelined him at points during the year after Fauci's stark warnings about the importance of wearing masks, distancing, and halting large-scale gatherings.
Number three.
A divided Wisconsin Supreme Court has refused to hear President Trump's lawsuit attempting to overturn his loss there, sidestepping a decision on the merits of the claims, and instead ruling that the case must first wind its way through lower courts. In another blow to Trump, two dissenting conservative justices question whether disqualifying more than 221,000 ballots as Trump wanted would be the proper remedy to the errors he alleged. More than two dozen people have been rescued from a Houston house where they were being held in a human smuggling operation. Police officers discovered the people after a man running in the street yelled that he had been kidnapped and that others were being held. Officers forced entry into the home and found 29 men and one female. Most of those rescued reported being from Mexico, El Salvador, Honduras, or Cuba. The first commercially printed Christmas card is up for sale, a Merry Victorian era scene that scandalized some when it first appeared in 1843. The card, being sold online by a Boston-based dealer in rare books and manuscripts, depicts an English family toasting the recipient with glasses of red wine. But in the foreground is a young girl taking a sip from an adult's glass. That didn't sit well at the time with the Puritanical Temperance Society, which kicked up such a fuss it took 3 years before another Christmas card was produced. The card is expected to sell for between $7,000 and $11,000.
They couldn't make the argument that it was grape juice and not wine that she was sipping from that glass?
I guess not.
Wow, what a scandal that was. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A restaurant in Texas has endured a wild set of twists and turns after its waitress was tipped $2,000. The Red Hook Seafood and Bar in San Antonio was unable to process the payment left for 21-year-old Emily Bauer because the payment system the restaurant uses has a $500 transaction maximum for tips left on a credit card. TV station KENS5 says Ms. Bauer reached out to news outlets to try to locate the man who left her the tip, which was accompanied by a note written on the receipt that said, "Merry Christmas, keep working hard." Eventually, the restaurant's owner said it would do its own make good for Ms. Bauer and come up with the $2,000 on its own and give it to her as a Christmas gift. On Facebook, Ms. Bauer posted that the man who left her the tip had used a fraudulent credit card.
It was at that point the restaurant decided to give Ms. Bauer 100% of the tip out of its own funds. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.